We have to stop seeing domestic violence as a gender issue. It's not. That we're doing a huge disservice and a dishonest disservice towards men and fathers. Because if we claim that in a violent relationship only men are the perpetrators, we are actually doing nothing for the women who themselves are violent. Because what happens in the refuge movement is they just evict them. If they do come in, they get rid of them. And the women are not allowed in if they're alcoholic, if they have drug problems, or if their boys are over 12. You can't do this, because those are the women that most need the help. And the same things towards what's happening towards men here, because with the arrest policies, if a man does call a woman, the chances are he'll be taken away. It doesn't matter what if he's scratched and whatever, he's taken out of the situation, because it's a positive arrest policy.
The automatic arrest policy for domestic violence is actually unique in the history of British law. The only legislation that gives comparable power to the police is anti-terrorist legislation.
So men are too frightened to take any action to protect themselves. And women now use the police as a force in a marital quarrel.
Do you really believe that one in every four of your female friends and colleagues could have suffered from domestic abuse? Is that what you find in your life? And what about the similar claim from the same people in the abuse industry that one in four women has been raped?
There are a lot of other statistics out there. In fact, one set of statistics that absolutely floored me was from an organization which said that 95% of women, by the time they were age 18, had been sexually abused. And I was quite flabbergasted by this because, you know, for one thing, I wasn't in the 95%. And what I found out was that in their definition of sexual abuse, it included a lorry driver driving by and saying, "Hey, baby."
On the basis of 600 convictions, I have seen the Home Office conclude that something like 60,000 rapes occur every year. And what they do, the way the police manufacture the rape data is by including all allegations made of rape are counted as rapes. They are included in the statistics. They include as rape, in their research, they include as rapes all those women who have answered yes to the following question. Have you, in the past 12 months, ever engaged in sex when you were not initially in the mood to do so, or words to that effect? They're very ambiguous with regard to whether or not a rape has actually occurred. But the Home Office counts a tick in the box to all these ambiguous questions as if a rape actually occurred. Every twist, every turn, every fact and every figure is put into the pot of evidence in favour of a rape having been committed. It's in this manner that the Home Office and the police manage to pump up the amount of alleged abuse that is taking place in this country.
Is the one in four women who's been raped the same one who's a victim of domestic violence? If not, could we say that two in four, half of all women, have been subject either to domestic violence or rape? Please, what these figures and surveys and soundbites are showing is that normal experiences and relationships are increasingly becoming reclassified as abusive. A row with a boyfriend becomes ticked in the box marked abuse. And why is it that this one in four women who may have been shouted at, slapped, or shoved out of the way is worth so much discussion and outrage from government and the media, yet the men killed by women in domestic violence, one in four of all deaths, are not discussed at all?
Domestic violence is a funding mechanism.
Oh, absolutely. I get millions. And I mean millions. I mean, yeah, just Cardiff alone picked up about 1.2 million about 3 or 4 years ago. Men phoned up for help and they were told this was for women only. And yeah, I mean, if I got £1 million, like for the whole country, I mean, I could really use that.
Where's all this money going? Where is all this funding
jobs.
Going?
I mean, they, like Women's Refuge now, if you look at all their accounts and all the rest of it, I mean, they've got money there for their pensions and their holidays. And they got, I mean, we was up in West London in their office, well, it was on the embankment, you know. I mean, you don't have an office up there unless you've got lots and lots of money. So, yeah, it's big, but it's business. It is a business.
So what kind of amounts of money are involved with domestic violence spending in the UK?
Well, it's millions. The National Federation, who own most of the refuges in this country, and Refuge, which is the other organisation, are avowedly feminist. There's no secret. It's on their websites. They have millions of pounds coming in. And the tragedy is that the other side, the men's groups, like Mankind, have virtually nothing.
We did go up to Women's Refuge in London last summer, that's David Hurst and myself, to meet with, I'm terrible on names, it might have been Sandra Hawley, but... Women's Refuge. And we said we would like to work with you. We said it's a common problem and we need to work together, not against each other. And the first words that came tumbling out of her mouth is, well, I'm sorry, but we see you as competition. And I said, makes it sound as if you just turn yourself into a business. I said, business worries about competition. I said, but if you're dealing with a social issue, there's no such thing as competition. Yes, but we're going for funding, she said, and if we start working with you, she said, it might increase your funding to the detriment of ours. And I said, well, aren't you actually interested in all victims? Well, no, not really.
And where does all this money come from?
Different sources. It comes from the government directly to the Federation, from lottery grants, from local grants, from boroughs giving monies to the refuges.
And where does the money go that comes into...
Well, you'll never find out because they're not accountable. An awful lot of it goes into conferencing, which is a way of proselytising the whole radical feminist policies. It's a proselytising religion as far as radical feminism is concerned.
Domestic violence is used to pursue what is quite simply a hate campaign against men, run by both feminist women and those other women and men who see advantage in supporting such a campaign. These people would have once been called collaborators.
You think it's just women against men, or is it something else?
No, it's not women against men. What you've got is you've got, as you had with fascism, communism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, you've got a small clique, and it's not just women, it's men as well. And they call themselves feminists. They're not feminists at all. They're extreme sort of Marxist feminists. They've got an agenda by which they want to push men out of society. They wish to create a single parent existence where you have mother and children at the heart of society, and then round the edges of that you have single men and women actually working to produce the wealth so that the single mother setup can actually benefit from that. That comes out from lots of feminist teachings back in the 70s.
The same officials that tell us that 1 in 4 women will experience domestic violence in their lifetimes also tell us that 1 in 10 women experience domestic violence in a year. This highlights an important point about the type of women who are involved in these incidents.
It follows from those figures that it is the same women, year after year, after year, after year, who are claiming, truthfully or otherwise, to have been assaulted. In other words, the domestic violence industry, the domestic violence statistics, are produced by and large by the same women over and over again.
Take 100 women. Of that 100, only 1 in 4 of them, that's 25, will ever experience domestic violence in their lifetimes. 75 women will never experience it. Now, if 1 in 10 women will experience domestic violence in a year, then that's 10 women in every 100. So in the first year, 10 women experience domestic violence. Notice how the 10 women must come out of the 25 who will ever encounter domestic violence at all. In the second year, another 10 women experience domestic violence. In the third year, it's another 10. But now it gets interesting. We've run out of women, and so we have to reuse some of the women who experienced domestic violence in previous years. From the third year onwards, we keep coming back to the same women, over and over again. Every year, it's the same relatively small group of women phoning the police to report yet another incident that they've been involved in. Erin Pitsey describes this type of woman as violence-prone.
The violence-prone woman, the tragedy here is that, yes, she can give up the violent relationship, but you notice also in her history that she's had other violent relationships, and the problem is, as she moves out, she doesn't choose health. She chooses the violence, and back again she goes to yet another violent relationship.